Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Patrick Pacella. Patrick's the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management and the Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Labor. And joining us in our conversation is Morgan Kinghorn. Well, Pat, could you describe the Department's Management and Review Board for us and how it monitors the progress of performance goals?
Sure. The Secretary established the Management Review Board early in her tenure, and actually in August of 2001. And how it works is it's really we meet monthly, and it's all the agency heads from the department are represented, and we largely tackle the president's management agenda and the issues that relate to it. And we always have a guest from the Office of Management and Budget, and we often have guest presenters also. We've had Mark Everson and Mark Foreman and Angela Stiles come and make a presentation before the Management Review Board. Dan Blair from OPM's been over. We had Maurice McTeague from the Mercatus Institute come over and talk to us a little bit about their approaches to things. So we get input from outside, and then we focus internally on a variety of issues, eGov, one, human resources issues, budget issues, and so forth.
And one of the areas that when you talk about in government service anyway, but management, you come back to the budget at some point, and you do have the budget under your umbrella. What are some of the techniques you've used to sort of use the budget to deliver results for the Secretary in terms of budget performance in that portion of the PMA?
Well, budget performance and integration is one of the five components of the president's management agenda. So we have spent a good time focusing on that to make sure budget and performance are linked. The secretary's priorities, because she's been so articulate in spelling them out throughout the department, we don't get as many surprises in the budget request process because agency heads know that their budget request should reflect the secretary's priorities and the president's agenda. It's very useful to utilize the budget process in order to eliminate redundancies and to minimize, not maximizing, the resources that are available within the department of 17,000 people and $56 billion. If you coordinate that money well, you can get the results you want. And that's been a big part of it, our success.
Let's turn a little bit to the other really critical factor of getting things done, and that's people. And as you know, the administration has as one of its five elements are the human capital challenges. General Kelly's office obviously has been discussing that. What do you think for the Department of Labor are your most significant human capital challenges, and sort of what do you think you'd be able to do about it and are doing now?
Again, to going back to the OMB scorecard, that was strategic management of human capital was one of those categories we scored well on. And we did that because we really focused on that early. The secretary is a firm believer in that personnel is policy, and that if you don't have the right people and the right jobs, you're going to have a tough time implementing your programs. One of the things we tackled immediately was the performance management system at the department. We, through the Management Review Board, we overhauled that. When we first got there, there were three different performance management systems. We were at the end of the year, we were looking at comparing apples and oranges and grapefruits because there was one agency had a three-level rating system, another had a four-level, a few had a five-level. So we tackled that, and we now have one five-level performance rating system. We have moved, or in the process of moving, everybody to the same cycle, because actually we have people on different cycles. We've connected it now to the fiscal year, which helps us in budget performance integration. And we also successfully negotiated the inclusion of this with the union representing 8,000 of our field staff. So it's not only the senior executives, but it's all about 2,400 or so supervisors and managers, and now to the field staff, the rank and file. And we've also set parameters on the critical elements. We found in the previous management system, some agencies had four critical elements in our department. One had 12. So what we did in order to have some consistency, we set 8 critical elements down for everybody. 4 of them were going to be consistent in all performance agreements. There were 4 sort of managerial competencies that are expected in each one of the performance agreements. And then we left 4 up to each individual agency so they could be more focused on their particular missions. So now we're going to be able to evaluate both the ratings as well as just individual performance, because we'll be talking about the same performance management system. That was very helpful to us. We were very, obviously like most agencies, concerned about succession planning. We have we had a SES candidate development program. There was one at the department a few years ago. We decided to have another one. And actually, the secretary just welcomed 27 new entrants into our SES candidate development program just a couple of months ago. We knew as we're in the 21st century here, we knew that the job skills are changing. In order to sort of create some liquidity in that, we sought a voluntary early retirement approval from OPM, and they provided that to us. We had 4,000 employees that were eligible for voluntary early retirement. And in the end, a little over 250 accepted it, so about 6%. So I'm fond of saying that when it comes to the idea of mass retirements, that you know, many are cold, but few are frozen. That there's quite a few people that are eligible, but not everybody always takes that. But you have to be prepared and for that succession that goes on.
One of the initiatives that the secretary set up is the MBA outreach program. Mm. Could you tell us about this program?
The secretary, and as you know, we have an MBA president, the first time ever in history. And at the Department of Labor, we have an MBA secretary. Secretary Chow is a graduate of the Harvard Business School. And so we thought it would be worthwhile to try to attract MBAs in this these changing economic times. There are around 400 or so MBA schools out there that offer MBAs. And the secretary, as an MBA herself, was very enthusiastic about this. And she, matter of fact, first announced it at the Society of Human Resources Professionals organization gathering in Philadelphia last June. And we have two objectives. One is to make people who are graduating from MBA school to take a look at the federal government. And because I think historically they tend to look towards Wall Street, the private sector, Silicon Valley, and so forth, and government might be not in their immediate sights. And secondly, we want those people who already have MBAs and are out there in the workplace who may be looking at changing a job, or recent times may have provided them incentives to see what else is out there, to look at the Department of Labor and our job postings. Like I mentioned earlier, we're a $56 billion department and 17,000 employees. So if we'd be in that Fortune 100 somewhere. And we actually just completed the application process, and we're going to have very few slots for this program. We expect to have maybe 12 to 15 slots for the first MBA class, which we anticipate starting in January. But we had 250 applicants from across the country. So we face a challenge now of finding the best and the brightest. One newspaper columnist referred to this as sort of a man bites dog approach with the Department of Labor going after MBAs. But again, Secretary Chow is always challenging us to sort of think outside the box as to how we can do things a little better and a little different at the department. And the MBA outreach program is one of those things.
Have you had any early intelligence on what it is the draw was? Because you did describe a difficult situation. The investment bankers hire MBAs, and people would have us believe that the pay and other benefits are often not comparable. The public sector, the private sector. So what's bringing all these people in?
Probably no more after we've gone through the resumes and interviewing them. But when you get 250 applicants on a brand new program you announced, something's caught their attention. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, even in the MPA schools, historically at Harvard or Syracuse, many of them went really into nonprofits. And in the last 2 years, that shifted dramatically, that they're going back into public sector, federal. So it sounds like you're catching the wave at the right time.
I also think that the president's management agenda, the way he spelled that out, may contribute to the interest in business schools, where people actually see something that sort of reflects the things that they've studied, human capital, e-government, financial performance, and so forth.
People talk in the private sector on how you retain people, and I come out of the public sector where many of my compatriots and myself remained, a lot of different jobs, but maybe 20, 30 years in an industry called government, federal government. How do you expect you'll be able to retain? What kind of things are you going to retain? Because we have trouble retaining MBAs and MPAs because they want to do a lot of different things.
We've set up a program where they'll be on rotational assignments within the department. We've assigned mentors. We will be assigning mentors to them. So we're going to try to exercise some good care and feeding from the department standpoint. And we think that some of the programs we have there, they'll find interesting, and you just got to find the right fit. So we're cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to retain them. I think the fact that they've applied to come to the Department of Labor is a first big step. They've probably, we anticipate they've visited our website and looked at a lot of the programs, and they may even have some particular interest themselves, which we would facilitate them working on.
It's time for a break. Come back in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Pat Pacell of the U.S. Department of Labor. What does the future hold for the department? We'll ask Pat for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.